from your brothers and sisters at Grace Chapel.
我把在恩典堂弟兄姊妹的请安带到各位的中间。
They worship as you worship this morning, these same times.
他们跟我们是同时，但是异地举行主日崇拜。
But I want to give some special greetings this morning.
但是今天早上我有特别的请安要带到各位中间。
Because the most recent worship service I was in was not in Grace Chapel.
因为最近一次的主日崇拜对我来说并不是在恩典堂。
The most recent worship service I was in was in Beijing, China.
我上一个礼拜的主日崇拜是在中国的北京。
Last Sunday, my wife and I returned from a short trip to visit a friend there.
那么在几天之前，我的内人和我刚刚在北京探访了一个朋友，才刚刚回来。
And for all of my life, I have wanted to go to Beijing.
我一辈子就梦想有一天能够到北京。
And to walk on the Great Wall.
那么走在长城的上面。
And yet the most amazing part of that experience.
那么对我来说最令我心里面兴奋的一个经历呢？
Was not walking on the Great Wall.
不是单单我的人走在长城的上面。
But it was instead meeting brothers and sisters in Christ in Beijing.
那么在北京遇到主内的弟兄姊妹，对我来说是令我最兴奋的一件事。
And we had the opportunity to have several meals with brothers and sisters there.
我们也跟在那里的许多的主内的弟兄姊妹一同吃饭，吃了好几顿。
And my own life was inspired by that time.
那么每一次跟他们在一起相聚，我心里面都受到很大的激励。
And I told several of them that the Sunday that I was back, I would be speaking at a Chinese church.
In Chinese. 我告诉他们说，我回到美国以后，我第一个主日崇拜要在一个华人教会讲道。
And they said, urge the church around the world to be praying for us.
他们告诉我说，请你把那个带祷的挑战和负担带到全世界的教会，请他们为我们祷告。
And they asked that I bring their greetings to you.
他们也托付嘱咐我，让我把他们的请安带到你们中间。
One other thing from these brothers and sisters in Beijing.
那么关于在北京的主内的这些弟兄姊妹，还有另外一件事情要跟各位分享。
If there was a time on this trip that was emotional for me.
那么如果在这一次聚会里面使我心情最激动的呢，是什么呢？
Is when we went into the Sunday morning worship service.
因为当我去参加他们主日崇拜的时候。
And it was a three-self church.
那么那是一个三字的官方的教会。
So I realized not everybody might be true believers.
那么我猜想大概不是每一个来参加的人都是真信徒。
But the church was full. There was no room even to stand.
那么那个教会呢，却是挤得水泄不通，连站的地方都没有。
And the choir began the worship service.
那么诗班就开始唱敬乐，开始这个崇拜。
And I don't know much Mandarin. I don't know hardly any Mandarin.
那么我一点中文都不知道。不过他刚才说他讲你好吗？
你好吗？谢谢，
谢谢，不要客气。
But I do know the tune that they sang.
但是呢，他们所唱的诗歌那个歌那个音乐我很熟悉。
And they sang into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
他们一开始唱的敬乐是唱的意思，我们都很熟悉的，进入我心，进入我心，主耶稣。
And as they sang, I sang in my heart.
当他们唱的时候，我也心里面在应和。
Into Beijing, come into Beijing, Lord Jesus.
我说，请主耶稣进入北京，主耶稣。
Now, you might be interested to know that my job is focused on missions.
那么各位也许知道，我在我们的教会，我的工作是差传的牧师，所以是差传是我的专门的。
So it is my job to help our church think about the ends of the earth.
那么我的专长，我的工作就是帮助教会的弟兄姊妹怎么样想到地极的需要。
And you focus starting today, as I understand, for the rest of the month on from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth.
那么我了解各位在这个月是差传月，差传月的主题就是从耶路撒冷直到地极。
And today I want to try to bring my part of the challenge that you face as a church.
那么但愿今天早上各位所面临的挑战，以我成为你们挑战的一个方向。
And I hope that this challenge will stay with you for the month.
我盼望这一个挑战能够一直跟大家在一起，一直过这整个月。
Because throughout the course of this month, you will learn a lot.
因为在这一个月份里面，我们相信会学到许多关于拆船的功课。
And you will hear many stories.
大家一定会听到许多感人的见证。
And you will be asking yourself, how can I respond?
也许我们会扪心自问，我要怎么样回应这些学习。
My challenge this morning.
今天我要带给各位的挑战是什么呢？
And for the month ahead.
在这一个月的时间里面
is that you and I need to be like the men of Issachar.
盼望你我在这个月能够好像这个以撒家的人一样。
It's in 1 Chronicles 12:32.
在我们刚才所读的历代志上第12章32节以撒家支派。
It says that these men of Issachar were distinguished men.
这一节圣经告诉我们说，以撒家的这一些人是通达实务的人。
And they were distinguished because of two things.
他们为什么被称为通达实务呢？
They understood their times.
第一，他们认识他们所处的时代。
And they knew what Israel should do.
第二，他们知道以色列人应该在这个时代做什么。
So they had knowledge about what the world was that they were living in.
所以他们对当时的时代，他们有充分的认识和了解。
And they had wisdom to know how to respond.
他们不只是有知识，他们也有智慧如何来回应。
Or they understood what we call current events.
那么他们所认识的，所知道的是当时时下所流行的一些事情。
And they understood how the people of God should respond.
他们也认识知道一件事情，神的儿女应该如何回应。
I was a student at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary.
我是在 Gordon Conwell 毕业的神学生。
And I was a student actually with Raymond Chomin Lee.
那么我跟李卓明牧师是同学。
He was a better student than I was.
在学校里面，他的成绩远远比我好得多。本来就。
But during the time at Gordon Conwell Seminary,
那么在神学院的那段时间里
，one of our professors was encouraging us to pray for missions.
那么我们的一个神学院的一个教授鼓励我们为拆船的工作祷告。
And he established a prayer room at Gordon Conwell Seminary.
那么他就在神学院里面就预备了一个祷告的房间。
And I walked into that prayer room one day.
那么有一天我就踏入那个祷告室。
And I was very surprised.
我非常的吃惊。
There were only two pieces of literature.
只有两份的文字在这个材料在那里。
One was the Bible.
第一个呢是圣经。
But the other was that day's newspaper.
那么第二个呢是当天的报纸。
And I said, who put this newspaper here?
后来我就很好奇说谁把这一份报纸摆在这儿。
Because I thought the newspaper would distract me from praying.
我当时想这个报纸会让我在祷告的时候分心。
I'd want to read the sports section.
我一定要打开运动版来看看那个运动的消息，体育版。
Or the comics.
或者看看卡通。
And I said, who put this newspaper in the prayer room?
所以我当时说，谁把这个报纸放在这一个祷告室里面？
Then I found out.
后来我发现
，It was our professor.
就是我们的教授
，Dr. Christy Wilson.
是 Christy Wilson 教授放在那边的。
And I went, why Dr. Wilson is the newspaper in the prayer room?
后来我就跑去兴师问罪，找这个教授为什么把这个报纸摆在那儿。
And he explained that we were supposed to be going to the scriptures to understand how to pray.
那么他就解释给我听，他说我把圣经放在那里，就是让你们被提醒。圣经教导我们如何祷告。
And that the scriptures teach us that our Lord is the Lord of the ends of the earth.
那么圣经教导我们，我们的主是地极的主。
But then he said the newspaper teaches us what we should be praying about.
他说那个报纸摆在那里就提醒我们到底我们祷告的内涵应该是什么。
Some of the challenges in our world today.
告诉我们今天环绕在我们四周这个世界的挑战是什么。
We need to understand our times.
我们要认识我们的时代。
And understand how the people of God should respond.
要认识神的子民应该如何回应。
What I'd like to do this morning is break my sermon into two parts.
那么今天早上呢，我要把我要传讲的信息分成两个主要的部分。
I would like to highlight some of the ways that our world is changing.
那么特别要注意到今天在我们这个瞬息万变的时代是怎么样的一个时代。
So that we understand our times.
那么因此我们能够成为一个通达时务的人。
And then I'd like us to look at how we should respond.
那么第二呢，我盼望我们能够被提醒，我们应该如何的回应。
So that we be like the people of Issachar.
让我们像当年的以撒家族一样。
Understand the times.
让我们成为通达时务的人。
And know how the people of God should respond.
也知道我们这些神的儿女应该如何的回应。
If we're thinking about from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth,
如果我们今天思想从耶路撒冷直到地极，
what is this world that we're called into?
那么请问今天我们被呼召进入的这个世界是一个怎么样的世界？
How can we understand our times?
我们要怎么样做一个识时务的人？
Now, to make it easy to follow or understand,
那么让我们能够很容易的明白。
I'd like to give a list of five things I see happening in our world.
那么我要提到五件目前在我们周遭所发生的事情。
And that will help you as you pray and respond later on.
那么当我们知道以后，我们就更知道如何在以后来为这些事情祷告。
This is not a complete list.
当然，我所提到这五点不完全。
But I do believe these five things are challenges facing the church.
但是我十分相信这五件事情是目前挑战教会的五个很重要的因素。
The first challenge
第一个挑战
is urbanization.
我们看见普遍的所谓的都市化。
People moving into the cities.
我们看见这些普遍的民众都集中在都市里面。
Now next week you're going to be hearing about specific work going on in the city of Boston.
那么下个礼拜里面，也许我们要特别会听到在整个波士顿大波士顿所发生的一些事情。
But the city is a challenge around the world.
但是都市可以给我们看到全世界发展的一个代表。
Urbanization.
都市化。
55% of the world will soon live in cities.
那么不久我们会发现全世界人口的55%会居住在都市里面。
By the year 2000,
到了公元2000年的时候，
there will be four of the five largest cities in the world,
在五个全世界最大的都市里面的四个，
that are not Christian cities, if you will.
当然我们说这不是基督教的都市。
In other words, the principal belief of those cities will not have any Christian influence.
换句话说，这些都市的整个他们的思想哲学不是基督教化的。
By the year 2000, experts estimate that the five largest cities will be Mexico City.
那么到了公元2000年，全世界最人口最多的五个大城市，第一个是墨西哥城。
Bombay.
孟买。
Calcutta.
加尔各答
Beijing,
北京
Shanghai,
上海
And as you know, four of those five
在这四个五个里面的四个
Have not a strong Christian presence
差不多都没有很强的基督教的影响
When I was a young person growing up
当我在年轻的时候
We used to talk about going to the jungles for Jesus
那个时候我们常常提醒的就是说我们要为着主的缘故进入丛林
And a jungle was a place that it was very difficult to live in
那么当时我们一提到丛林地带不是一个很文明的地方也不是一个很好居住的地方
A jungle was a place where it was dangerous to raise your family
那么在丛林的地区要生活对家庭来讲不是一个安全的地方
A junglewas a place where you could be in great personal danger.
在蛮荒丛林的里面对个人来说是充满许多的危险的地方。
I still believe we need to go to the jungles for Jesus.
我一直到现在我还十分的相信我们要为耶稣的缘故进入蛮荒丛林的地方。
But many of the jungles in the 1990s are urban jungles.
那么今天1990年代的丛林是所谓都市的丛林。
We're going to be struggling with smog.
我们会在都市里面有许多污染的空气。
living in high-rise apartment buildings.
我们住在这个总理入云霄的这一些高的公寓。
Dealing with gangs and the dangers of gang warfare.
那么在这些黑社会或者是这些帮派的争斗里面生活。
And having just returned from Beijing,
我刚刚从北京回来。
I would tell you also the urban challenge presents the challenge of bicycle riding.
那么也是特别提到这些骑脚踏车人的单车族的这个挑战。
I told a friend of mine,
我跟我一个朋友说
you haven't really lived until you've ridden a bicycle in Beijing during rush hour.
你如果还没有真正体验到在这个最忙碌的时间在北京进入那些单车群，你还没有真正活过。
One other thing about the urban challenge.
那么第二个关于都市化的挑战是什么呢
？Is that our urban areas oftentimes have the greatest concentration of our poor people.
那么我们看见都市里面大部分的人集中在那些穷困的民众当中。
In Calcutta, India.
在印度的加尔各答
，There are 15 million people.
有1500万人。
And there are 1 million of them that sleep in the gutter.
有一百万的人，他们是晚上住在等于说好像阴沟里面一样。
Almost every major city of the world.
差不多每一个今天全世界最大的城市里面
has a pocket of the poorest of the poor people.
那么有那种最贫穷、贫中之贫的那些人住在都市里面。
And Pastor Lee and myself have both been to Manila in the Philippines.
那么我们两位都曾经到菲律宾的马尼拉
where there is one group of 12,000 or 14,000 people living on a city dump.
那么有14,000个当地的人民住在垃圾场里面。
You might say, Lord Jesus, I'm willing to go to the jungles.
也许你说主啊，我愿意为你到丛林去。
But He may send you to the cities.
也许他呼召你去的地方是进入都市。
In answer to your prayer,
神用这样来回答你的祷告。
A second issue in our world today.
那么今天在我们世界上所发现的第二个挑战是什么呢
？The issue we call simply the unreached.
那么是我们所谓的福音未及之民。
Now by this I'm not talking about people who are not Christians.
我不是说非基督徒。
But I'm specifically talking about people who have never had the opportunity to become Christians.
那么我所说的这些福音未及之民是指说那些从来没有机会能够做决定成为基督徒的人。
And one of the challenges that we face is bringing the gospel to these people.
那么对我们来说一个挑战就是把福音带给这些福音未及之民。
Now as you probably know, this group of unreached falls into three major categories.
那么也许各位已经知道这些福音未及之民分成三个主要的大类。
It falls into the category of the Hindu.
第一类的人是信奉印度教的人。
Mostly in the country of India.
那么大多数是在印度国。
It falls into the category of the Muslim.
那么第二类的人是回教。
Mostly across North Africa and into the Middle East.
那么是从北非一直到中东的那一个地区。
And into Indonesia.
一直到印尼的地方。
And then the third category are the people in the People's Republic of China.
那么第三大类的这些福音未及之民呢，是在中华人民共和国的这一个范围里面。
Now let me give you an illustration of somebody who is unreached.
那么让我举一个很简单的例子，告诉大家什么叫做福音未及之民。
When we were recently in Beijing,
当最近我跟我的内人在北京的时候
，we had an opportunity to speak in a couple of classes. These are English classes.
那么我们有机会去在一些教英文的班上讲几句话。
And they wanted to know about what we do. My wife is in medical work, and I said I was a teacher.
那么他们要问我们夫妇两个人做什么？我的内人的专业是从事医科这一方面。那我告诉他们说我是个教师。
And they asked all sorts of questions about the election.
那么他们很关心美国大选的事情。
But after they heard enough about Ross Perot,
他们听多了关于 Perot 的事情以后呢
？One of the young ladies raised her hand.
有一个女学生就举起手来问一个问题。
She said, "Could you tell us about God and Christ?"
她说，请你告诉我们关于上帝与耶稣的事情。
And as I stood there, I thought, how do I summarize all of the Christian gospel in about 3 minutes?
那么我站在他们的面前, 我就自己问我自己, 我怎么样能够把三分钟的时间把它浓, 把福音浓缩在三分钟的介绍里面?
Because some of these young people had never ever heard about Jesus.
因为这些年轻人大部分从来没有听过耶稣的名字。
And I asked them, how, you know, the best thing you can do is to read the Bible.
我说第一件事情就是说你要知道这个答案,最重要的,最重要的就是读圣经。
How many of you have a Bible?
你们中间有多少人有圣经呢? 我问他们。
It was a class of 42 students.
那个班有42个学生。
Three of them had ever seen a Bible.
那么有三位他们看过圣经。
Unreached people. Three of them had ever seen a Bible.
那么这些就是所谓未己之名。
In other words, the other 39 had never seen a Christian Bible.
只有三位看过圣经, 其他39位从来没有看过基督教的圣经。
Now I'm sure across China there's different stories in every town.
当然今天在中国大陆在不同的城市有不同的这一个故事。
But it illustrates the fact that there are still people in our world who know nothing of Jesus Christ.
所以从这个例子我们看见今天在这个时代这个世界里面还有人从来没有听过耶稣的名字。
And my prayer is that God will call people out of this congregation.
我的祷告是求神在这一个会众的当中呼召人出来。
With the spirit of Paul the Apostle.
有使徒保罗的这样的精神。
Who said in Romans 15 verse 20.
在罗马15章20节那里所说的,
that I aspire to preach the gospel where Christ is not already named.
我立定志向不在基督所传过的地方去传福音,
which is especially significant in the 1990s.
那么特别在今天90年代这届圣经好像很难,
because of all of the missionaries being sent by the Christian church.
那么好像今天教会已经把许多的宣教士都差派出去了。
Only about 10% of them are going to unreached peoples.
只有教会的10%的基督徒被派到这些未及之名的地方。
So it's a great challenge that we all face.
所以这是我们每一个人所面对的一个很大的挑战。
Issue number three.
那么第三个事情是什么呢?
Youth and children.
青少年和儿童的需要。
Now we live here in the United States of America.
我们今年住在美国。
The United States of America is getting older and older.
美国一般的人民是越来越老化。
We call it the graying of America.
我们说是美国的一些越来越灰白的一个现象。
Although I call it the balding of America.
我说是越来越中间长大的美国人，不，光头，像戴季中牧师。
But in the rest of the world,
那么在世界的其他的地方,
our world is getting younger and younger.
这个世界是越来越青年化。
If you take almost all of the countries of Latin America, Africa, and Asia,
如果我们今天看拉丁美洲、看非洲、看亚洲,
over 50% of their population is under the age of 20.
他们人口的50%是在20岁之下。
And if you combine that with the fact that many people commit their lives to Christ before the age of 18,
那么你如果把他们在18岁以前接受耶稣基督的那些人来计算的话,
it's very significant that we invest our energies in reaching youth and children.
那么这是一个非常非常值得我们投这个参与的一个福音的一个工作。
Especially this is significant if you have a burden or a prayer concern for Africa.
那么特别是你对非洲有很强的负担和祷告的这个心的话,
because in the continent of Africa,
因为在非洲的大陆上,
countries like Zimbabwe and Kenya,
像Zimbabwe跟肯亚这两个地方,
over 50% of their population is under the age of 14.
那么他们50%的人口是在14岁之下。
I was again reminded of the challenge of reaching young people on our trip to China.
那么这一次我到中国大陆再一次被提醒青少年工作的重要。
We were on the Great Wall when there were two field trips of young children there as well.
那么我在这个长城上的时候,我看见有2小组的这些儿童的这个旅行团。
And as I stood on the Great Wall and looked at these two groups coming in to attack me,
那么我站在这个长城上面的时候,看见这2群的儿童靠近我。
I thought to myself, China's past and China's future in the same place.
那么我站在那个地方，我站在长城，想到中国的过往，看见小孩，想到中国的未来。
Who's going to reach these young people for Jesus Christ?
谁为耶稣基督的缘故来得着这些孩子们？
Youth and children, issue number three.
青少年和儿童是今天世界的第三大挑战。
Now we're still trying to understand our times.
我们现在还是继续的在想要来明白我们这个时代。
We're faced with the challenge of the city.
我们今天看见都市的挑战。
With the challenge of people who have never heard about Jesus Christ.
那些福音未及之民的挑战。
With the challenge of a world that's half of its people are youth and children.
我们也想到这个世界有一半以上的人青少年的挑战。
A fourth challenge that we face.
第四个我们所面对的挑战是什么呢？
The challenge of hurting people.
那个心灵忧伤的这些人的挑战。
You don't have to go far to learn about this.
我们不需要跑到老远去有这样的感受。
If you read the newspaper, you know about Somalia.
那么我们打开报纸，我们看见现在在 Somalia 的那些战事。
Or people affected by the hurricane in southern Florida.
那么我们也看见在佛罗里达州那一个大旋风大台风的那个报道。
Or people suffering from and being killed by the disease of AIDS.
那么我们看见这些艾滋病的这些病患。
There are many people in our world who are under what we call a crisis.
我们发现今天有许许多多全世界的人正在危机之中。
And it might be caused by a natural disaster.
也许是天然的灾害的影响。
Or it might be caused by some choice that they've made that's a wrong choice.
也许因着他们错误选择的结果。
Or it might be caused by a repressive government.
或者是因着政府压迫的结果。
But we as the people of God,
今天我们成为神的子民,
need to be the people who are reaching out to those who are lost.
我们要关怀这些失丧的这些人的需要。
Those who are hurting.
这些受伤的灵魂。
Let me just give you a fifth issue quickly.
让我很快地提到第五样。
This is more for your information.
那么第五样呢，主要是给大家一些资讯。
And I hope for your encouragement as well.
那么盼望也给各位带来一些鼓励。
In the years ahead, we are facing the changing focus of Christianity.
那么在我们往前面看的这数年来，我们看见这个基督教这个它所特别着重点的那个开始的有一点变化。
It used to be that the principal leadership of Christianity came from the Western Hemisphere.
那么我们过去看见西半球基督教的影响是在过去的现象。
In the years ahead, the principal leadership will come from the Eastern Hemisphere.
那么我们要注意到在往前的年代，将来全世界基督教的影响是从东半球的教会而来的。
It used to be that the largest number of Christians were in the northern hemisphere.
那么过去呢，这个基督徒的数目是在北半球。
It's now true that the largest number of Christians are in the southern hemisphere.
那么不可否认的，现在基督教人数比较多是来自南半球。
This past December, I was in the country of Kenya, East Africa.
那么去年十二月，我在非洲东岸的肯亚。
And I was speaking at a conference there with 1,500 Kenyan students.
那么我对着1500个肯亚当地的学生讲道。
They had come together to be challenged concerning missionary work.
那么他们这1500个年轻的弟兄姊妹是接受宣道挑战的一些当地的这些人。
Because the church in Kenya is sending missionaries to the ends of the earth.
因为现在肯亚已经开始差派宣教士到地极。
Several years ago, there was a man who came to Grace Chapel to visit.
那么几年前有一个弟兄到这个恩典堂来访问。
And I introduced myself to him.
那么我就做了自我介绍。
He was a black man.
那么他是一位黑人。
And I could tell by his name.
因为我从他的名字认出他。
That he wasn't from North America.
他的名字一定不是从北美来的。
His name is Isaac Oyibo.
他的名字叫 Isaac Oyibo。
And I asked him, Isaac, where is your home? He says, I am from Nigeria.
那么我就问这个以撒，我说你从哪里来的？他说我是从奈及利亚来的。
I asked him, Isaac, why are you here in the United States? Are you a student?
那么我说你来美国做什么？你是来这里深造的吗？读书的吗？
He said, oh, no, no.
他说不不不。
I am a missionary.
他说我是一个宣教士。
My church in Nigeria has sent me to the United States.
奈及利亚的教会差派我到美国来做宣教士。
We have seen your movies.
我们看了你们的这个电影。
We know that your country needs missionaries.
知道从你们的电影，好莱坞拍的电影，就知道你们这个国家需要福音。
A changing face of Christian ministry.
我们看见整个这个基督教侍奉的重点的改变。
Now, when we understand our times,
当我们认识这个时代的时候
，it's easy to become overwhelmed.
那么我们很容易觉得好像接受一个很大很大我们没有办法承担的一个挑战。
Because it's difficult for us to think about the billions of people without Jesus Christ.
因为我们没有办法用我们有限的头脑来思想到成万上亿的不认识耶稣的那些人的需要。
Or it's difficult for us to think about a million people on the streets of Calcutta, India.
那么我们也没有办法想象在加尔各答城市里面，在街道上面那些上百万的这些人。
That's why it's important that we understand the second part of the men of Issachar.
所以呢，我们今天很重要的不只是要明白这个发生在我们周遭的事情，我们也要了解以撒迦当年他们所做的第二部分的事。
They understood their times.
他们通达时务。
But they understood how the people of God should respond.
但是他们也知道神的子民应当如何的回应。
So let me give you, as you begin this month of missions, three responses.
那么在我们拆船月的里面，容许我给各位三个建议。但是他们也知道神的子民应当如何的回应。
So let me give you, as you begin this month of missions, three responses.
那么在我们拆船月的里面，容许我给各位三个建议。
Three responses to this world into which we are sent.
这三个建议是建议我们怎么样让我们被差派进入到这个世界里面。
Because we are God's people.
第一，我们要记得我们是神的子民。
Responding to a needy world.
向着一个有需要的世界的回应。
The first response comes out of the passage read in the New Testament this morning.
那么第一个回应是从刚才我们所读的这个马太福音第九章里面。
It's a famous missionary passage, Matthew 9:36-38.
马太福音九章三十六节到三十八节是非常非常熟悉的有关差传的经文。
Almost every missionary conference has someone speaking aboutPraying the Lord to send out laborers into the harvest field.
在每一个差传年会里面，都有一个传道人或者有一个信息是讲到求庄稼的主差派工人。
But the response that I want you to focus upon in that passage.
那么今天早上我要各位特别注意这一段圣经而带来的一个回应。
Is the response that Jesus had.
这个回应是耶稣所有的回应。
The first response.
第一个回应。
Compassion.
就是里面有怜悯人的心肠。
It says that when Jesus saw the crowds,
这里告诉我们说，当耶稣看见许多的人
，He had compassion on them,
就怜悯他们。
He was willing to have a feeling of hurt for their hurt.
他要跟他们所有的伤痛来认同。
He was willing to say, "I want to reach out to these people who are hurting."
他在这里告诉我们说，他愿意。能够投入参与在这些受伤的人群当中。
Now his response was quite different than his disciples.
那么他的回应跟门徒的回应不太一样。
His disciples we know from another passage.
那么从另外一段的经文，我们看见门徒的回应。
The crowds were bothering them.
那么这些群众好像在搅扰他们。
And they said to Jesus, "Send these people away."
他们就跟耶稣说，把这些人把他们差派出走吧，把他们打发走吧。
So they were thinking about themselves.
他们所想的是他们的自己。
Jesus was thinking about these people.
耶稣所想的是这些有需要的人。
They saw them as a nuisance or an inconvenience.
那么这些门徒所看到的是不方便，看到的是这些麻烦。
Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd.
耶稣所看见的乃是看到羊没有牧人。
So when we look at our world,
所以当我们看到这个世界的时候。
We need to look with eyes of compassion.
让我们带着怜悯的眼光来看这个世界。
We have a man in our church who works in the financial district in downtown Boston.
那么在我们教会有一位弟兄是在金融界在波士顿工作。
And he wants to try to develop compassion for the city of Boston.
那么他心里面一直就希望培养出一个为波士顿城的一个怜悯的心肠。
Where he works, there are people who are very wealthy.
那么在他工作的那个环境都是一些相当有钱的人。
And the people all have nicely tailored suits on.
那么每一个人所穿着的都是非常的高贵的。
And they drive in nice cars.
那么开的都是一些高级汽车。
And they live in places like I live in Lexington or in nice suburbs.
那么他们所住的地方都是一些很富有的一些郊区的城市。
But this man says, I really want to develop more compassion for the city.
他说我求主给我对城市里面的人有怜悯。
So what he decided to do was this.
他怎么做呢？
He decided that every week, one day a week, he would leave his place of work.
他说每一个礼拜他要抽一天要离开他工作的地方。
And he would go from the financial district in Boston.
那么他从波士顿的金融中心。
And walk over to an area where there are a lot of homeless people.
那么就走到那些无家可归的那些人当中。
And he would serve meals at what we call a soup kitchen.
那么他在那边就在一个soup kitchen 在那边来服侍他们来跟他们预备这些食物
So there are people that he's serving meals to
所以这些他所侍奉的对象
Who have no cars
没有车
No home
没有家
They don't have any kinds of income
没有一些收没有收入
And some of them have destroyed their own lives through alcohol or drugs
那么这些人因着毒品因着酒好像自我毁灭
But he said I want to develop compassion
他说我要培养这个怜悯的心肠
To see people in need and to try to respond
看见人的需要也希望有行动的配合
One of the first ways that all of us can develop compassion
那么第一个我们可以做的就是能够这样来培养我们这样怜悯的心
is to begin by praying
另外一个培养这样怜悯的心肠就是我们开始学习祷告
praying for our neighbors
为我们的邻舍祷告
praying for the people we go to school with
为我们的同学祷告
praying for the people we work with
为我们的同事祷告
and trying to pray for them and pray about them the way that Jesus would care for them
不只是让我们为他们祷告也让他们在我们的祷告的关心里面让他们知道耶稣为他们所做的事
Because compassion is seeing people the way that Jesus sees them
什么叫怜悯呢怜悯就是我们看一个人事物好像耶稣看人事物一样
I have a small confession to make
我有一个小小的一件事情要承认
I was raised in the Boston area
我在 Boston 这个地区长大的
And learned to drive here
我在这边学习怎么开车的。
Now, if you don't know this, Boston drivers have a very bad reputation.
如果你不知道的话，我要告诉你，波士顿的这个驾驶是恶名昭彰的。
And I was a Boston driver.
那么，很不幸，我就是一个恶名昭彰的波士顿驾驶。
And I don't think I drove like a Christian.
我不认为我开车像一个基督徒开车一样。
Until somebody told me that compassion is seeing people the way that Jesus would see them.
那么有一天有人告诉我说什么叫怜悯呢就是你以耶稣的眼光来看事情这叫怜悯。
So now my driving is being reformed.
现在我的驾驶呢已经被更新了改变了。
Because I see the other drivers.
因为我看见其他的这些开车的人。
And I say, this is a person for whom Jesus Christ died.
那么我就看见那些开车很疯狂的人说，这些就是耶稣为他们死的这些人。
And it changes the way I look at them.
那么就改变了我对他们的观点。
Eyes of compassion.
这是怜悯的一个眼光。
Our second response.
那么第二个回应。
And this is the one I want to encourage you most about.
那么这是我今天最要强调的一点。
The word that I'll use is focus.
那么我要用的字呢，就是所谓集中。
The world is too big for us to do everything.
那么这个世界要我们每一样东西都做，这是不可能的。
But everybody can do something.
但是呢，我们每一个人都可以做一些事情。
So maybe you want to make a choice starting this month.
那么也许从这个月开始，我们可以为着福音的缘故做一些事情。
That you won't pray for every missionary.
你不可能为每一个宣教士祷告。
But you'll at least pray for one every day.
那么起码每一天为一个宣教士祷告。
That you won't pray for every city in the world.
你不可能为全世界每一个大都会祷告。
But you'll pray for at least one.
起码为一个城市祷告。
That you'll choose to focus your attention.
让我们集中祷告的焦距。
In the days and weeks ahead, you may hear from your missions committee about this.
那么也许在将来我们会常常听到差传委员会给我们的一些资料。
where they'll try to link up the church with one people group that doesn't know about Jesus Christ.
那么也许开始要让我们的教会跟那些未及之名的一个群体慢慢慢慢连接上的一些挑战。
Or they'll try to choose to get the church involved with one other city or one project in the city of Boston.
那么也许以后我们教会会从差选委员会提供一些资料，跟波士顿城里面哪一个都市中心的工作发生联系。
Maybe that's the focus that you're going to take as an individual.
那么也许以个别的基督徒来讲，我们应该集中焦聚的地方。
To be concerned about one people group.
让我们集中在一个未得的子民。
Or one city.
或者一个城市。
Or one country.
或者一个国家。
One of the prayers in my life has been for the country of Albania.
那么对我个人来讲，我一直有一个挑战，为阿尔巴尼亚这个国家祷告。
Up until a few years ago, Albania said that they had totally gotten rid of any kind of religion. They said they were 100% atheistic.
那么在好多年前，我得到一个资料说，那个国家100%没有宗教的存在。
And yet, if you know, as we've been praying for Albania just recently,
那么我为这个国家祷告了很久，一直到最近听到一个消息。
The doors of Albania began to open.
这个国家福音的门已经开始打开了。
And 1 year ago,
在一年之前，
17 different mission organizations,
17个不同的差传的团体，
had an evangelistic crusade in Albania.
在 Albania 这个地方有布道的活动和工作。
So choose to focus your attention.
所以请各位选择一个地方作为你祷告的一个对象。
So focus.Compassion.
我们要有怜悯的心肠，我们要有集中焦聚的这样的一个操练。
The third response.
第三个回应
is the most difficult for those of us who live in the United States of America.
对于住在美国的人来说，是最难达到、最难做到。
If we're going to see the gospel taken to Jerusalem to the ends of the earth,
如果我们要看福音从耶路撒冷传到地极
our response must be sacrifice.
我们的回应应该过牺牲的生活。
We are not going to win the spiritual war without sacrifice.
没有牺牲，不可能在属灵的征战上得胜。
The gospel is going to go forward as God's people are willing to make sacrifices.
福音要如何传开呢？除非神的子民愿意有牺牲。
The first sacrifice may be the sacrifice of your time.
那么第一个牺牲也许是时间的摆上。
That you're willing to make the time to pray for issues around the world.
你要为着全世界的需要花时间祷告。
That you're willing to take the time this afternoon as you read the Sunday paper to pray about the things you read about.
那么也许你要花时间把今天下午所读的周日的这礼拜天的报纸带来的使你祷告的挑战。
That you're willing to take the time to get involved in the city of Boston.
那么要摆上时间进到波士顿城里面去。
Or that you're willing to take the time to learn about this needy world.
那么也许你要花时间来好好的研读今天这个世界需要的一些材料。
Our second sacrifice concerns finances.
那么第二个牺牲是跟我们的经济、我们的财政有关系的。
The missions committee of your church has shown me some of their goals for the next decade.
那么差传委员会的同工把前面我们教会十年的目标曾经给我看。
And I 100% agree with those goals.
那么我100%的同意这样的一个方向。
And your goals have been a challenge to our church.
你们的这个方向成为我们教会的挑战。
But I know that your goals won't be achieved unless every Christian is willing to sacrifice financially.
那么如果我们只是空口谈这一个方向，而没有牺牲的在金钱上摆上，这个目标达不到。
That means that we may find ourselves unable to purchase everything that our culture says we need to have.
那么换句话说，也许我们从今以后，我们要考虑到这个文化告诉我们该买的东西，我们不买，我们要除非有这样一种牺牲的态度。
Financial sacrifice is part of following Jesus Christ.
跟随耶稣基督是包含金钱上面的摆上。
A final part of sacrifice.
那么最后一个摆上和牺牲是什么？
It's the personal sacrifice.
是个人的一个摆上。
It's going to be a personal sacrifice for you to think about where God wants you in the world.
那么对你个人来说，要思想在那么大的一个浩瀚的世界里面，神要我到哪一个地方去？
God may be calling some of you to go to the ends of the earth.
神也许会呼召我们中间一些弟兄姊妹直到地极。
To go out to the world's youth and children.
那么进到这个青少年和儿童的未信主的世界。
To care for some of the hurting people in our world.
为着这个世界许多受伤的人，我们去关照他们。
Or God may even be calling you to some of you to more difficult sacrifice.
那么，也许神呼召我们中间有一些人进入更难的牺牲。
He may be calling you to give up your children to do that.
也许神呼召你们把你们的儿女奉献在拆船的工作上。
We had a speaker at our missions conference several years ago.
在几年前，在我们的拆船年会有一个讲员。
And I thought he was going to be challenging our young people to go to become missionaries.
我以为他要鼓励，要挑战我们中间的年轻人去做宣教士。
But he said, before I speak to the young people,
他说在我跟这些年轻人讲道以前，
I want to speak to the parents of young people and children.
他说我要向做这个教会青少年和儿童的家长先说话。
I want to challenge you.To give up your children to Jesus Christ.
我要向你们这些做父母亲的挑战，把你们的儿女奉献给耶稣基督。
Because your releasing your children may be the key to them becoming God's next missionaries.
那么，把你们的儿女奉献给主，也许他们就是宣教士将来的盼望和第二代。
My challenge as you start this mission's emphasis.
那么，我的挑战是希望各位进入到这样的一个拆船的一些。
Let's pray.
我们低头祷告。
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you had compassion on us.
主耶稣基督，我们谢谢你，因为你怜悯我们。
That when we were sheep without a shepherd, you became our shepherd.
当我们好像羊没有牧人一般的时候，你成为我们的好牧者。
Today I pray that you will change the way we look at our world.
求主今天早上帮助我们改变我们的世界观。
And give us grace to be obedient and to respond.
给我们恩典，成为顺命的儿女。
We pray it in Jesus' name.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。阿门。